Hello, everyone. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Game Dev with Scruffy Fern. Today, I'm really happy that I've got a special guest that happens to be a colleague and close friend of mine,
yep.
Will Stay. Will, you want to give him a little intro about yourself?
Yeah, sure. I'm Will Stay. I'm the head of the Karma Lab. Karma Labs. We're a small indie developer down here in Southern Ontario. Right now, we're making a lot of kind of mobile games. We're trying to branch out into console, handheld right now. Have a couple little projects we're spinning up right now. Yeah, you can check us out at thekarmalab.com. You can check us out also on, you know, the App Store, Google Play Store, and the Windows Phone Store. Yeah, that's pretty much
awesome.
It. I mean,
yeah, you guys got about, what, four titles in the store right now?
Yeah, about four.
About four? Oh, really cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right, so yeah, I'm going to get right into this because, like, the topic for today...
It fits very well.
Yeah, it's a good fitting topic, and I'm glad to have you here because you have some experience in it. And so we're going to get right into my rant. Now, my rant today isn't so much of a rant as much of it is a gripe because I literally have a bone to pick, and my bone to pick is actually with everybody watching. It's the indie game developers out there. And the reason I'm singling you guys out is I can't for the life of me figure out simply why you're not using the cloud. Now, a lot of AAA developers have started to take a look at the cloud, right?
Like Respawn with Titanfall.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got Titanfall. You've got games like Forza, yeah, Forza. That are, you know, yeah. the AAA guys are starting to look at the cloud, but they're doing more heavy lifting in the cloud.
Yeah,
they're
the
doing like the AI stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing a lot of heavy, crazy machine learning stuff like that. Yeah. So I don't expect indie developers to necessarily be doing that, but I expect them to leverage the cloud in ways that make sense for them, right?
Exactly.
So, one of my biggest gripes, and this is what really sparked my rant, was the fact that I'll be playing a game on my phone, and I'll switch over to, like, you know, say my PC or a console. I have the exact same game, but no save data.
Yeah, no, that's annoying.
To me, I'm like, are you kidding me? In this day and age,
yeah,
with all the technology we have out there in the cloud, and you know, I should be able to take my game from one platform to the next and never see, you know, any sort of
change or anything. Yeah.
Exactly, right? And it's not just that. Like, there's a million other reasons to use the cloud. You know, and I understand that the cloud can be kind of this monolithic thing that people, you know, look at and they go, ooh, it's really big and I don't understand everything behind it and I don't, you know, you kind of want to, don't know where to dip your toe into the
exactly,
pool, so to speak,
yeah,
right?
That was my experience. It was like, where? And but yeah.
Yeah.
And you
so,
helped me out with that.
Yeah, and I did. And you did, right? Like you guys have taken a look at Azure for things like mobile services.
Yeah, mobile services. Yeah.
Right. You've been using it for leaderboards, high score tables, and you know, I've seen a lot of proof of concepts, some templates out there to show people how to do that, and it's cool. That's a really good use. You guys are using save data as well, I believe.
A little bit. A lot of it's high scores more.
Okay, so after this, I got to start, you know, pushing you to get that done.
Yeah. Well, no, it was more of just for our games. It just wouldn't work.
And that's the thing, right? You
got
to make sure it matches up, right? But at the end of the day, there's many reasons why you would want to use the cloud,
exactly,
but you got to find the one that fits your needs.
Exactly.
So, yeah, like, you know, mobile services with the high score tables and stuff like that.
Perfect.
But I'm understanding that maybe there just isn't enough knowledge out there for everyone to kind of to understand where to start and how to actually implement this into their games. So I've decided that as of today, I am on a crusade that I'm going to change this and I'm going to give you guys the content so that you can actually go out and get the cloud working inside of your game, right?
Exactly.
So today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a really simple example of it's a proof of concept of how to use multiplayer. Or how to use Azure to create a multiplayer experience for your game. Now, this is a very, very simplistic, right?
Yep.
I wouldn't even necessarily call it a game.
Yeah, there's no win-loss.
Yeah, there's no win-loss.
There's no real gameplay. It's more of, oh, hey, look, I made it work, basically, yeah.
But I wanted to show off how easy it was to get up and running and how flexible this technology is, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So we're going to actually do all of this using Azure websites.
Yeah.
So we're not going to use a VM.
No. Nope.
We're not going to spin up any instances of like stuff like that. We're not going to have to worry about, you know, creating Linux servers or whatever
exactly,
it might be and having to patch them and all that stuff.
I'm removing
all of that stuff because, like I said, you know, we're game developers. We shouldn't be worrying about architecture and stuff and servers and stuff like that. We should be worrying about gameplay and the experience.
And refining that so it's perfect.
So I'm going to make it.
About.
I'm going to show you how easy it is. We're going to fire that up in Azure websites. What I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to bring in most of the player content.
Yeah.
If you guys have watched the show, previous shows, I basically walk through the code. I don't really like code. on the fly. But today we're actually going to try and code something on the fly. Mm-hmm. So I've got my player and my front end of the game itself all finished up.
Yeah.
But what I'm going to do is I'm going to write the server back end code.
Okay.
And then we're going to push it up in Azure. And I'll show you how to build the whole project and stuff like that. So I'll take you from a 0 to 60, but we're going to get there pretty quick because we don't have a lot of time.
No.
Okay, so let's move right on. And we're going to jump right in, and we're going to get into Visual Studio. I have a bunch of stuff open, so let's make sure I got the right one. There we go. Okay, so the first thing we need to do is create a solution, right, so that we can kind of work on everything together. And I'm going to show you guys how to do this, so your game solution or your game project and your server are going to be in the same solution. No need to hunt around for extra code, right?
That's always a pain when you have to, have like 10 tabs open, 10 solutions, and it's just,
I'm a strong believer, and if you kind of make it easier for yourself, why not, right? And then in this case, it actually works out really well. Yeah. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go to new, and we're going to do project. But what we're going to do here, we should probably install the Node.js stuff first.
Yes.
And then we'll get into the project stuff. Because if I start doing this, I just noticed I popped up Node.
Yeah, you have it all, and otherwise,
people are going to get confused. So let's start with that. So the first thing you need to do is install Node.js tools for Visual Studio. And I believe I have the link. Just give me a sec.
I think you do.
We'll get the link up. Yeah.
If you can't find the link, all you have to do is just Google Node.js, Bing. Google. Yahoo, even. Whatever you want to do.
He's still using Google. I have no idea what.
I'm sorry. But basically just Google. Bing. Fine. Bing. Node.js, Visual Studios tools, and it'll pop up. It's like the third thing.
We'll have to get you a shot caller, and every time you say Google, we'll just zap you.
I know.
But yeah, just do a quick search for it. We'll make sure that the link is up
in
the video description or something so that you can actually grab it. I did have it open, but I've closed it, and I don't want to bother searching for it. While I'm trying to talk to you. So anyway, once you install that, basically what that does is it installs the templates for Node.js for Visual Studio. So if you didn't know this, Visual Studio supports Node.js.
Woohoo!
Awesome, right?
Yeah.
Which is absolutely great. So no need to go out to other IDEs to get all your work done.
Exactly.
Everything in one IDE, which is fantastic.
Very, very nice.
So you install that, and like I said, it gives you all your templates.
Options, all that jazz.
So that when we get to this step, and we actually go to creating a new project, you're going to actually see that now in my templates. I'm going to make that minimize. If I go to templates and into JavaScript, I actually have Node.js listed there now, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's always cool. Yeah.
Now there's a bunch of different ones we could select. The one that we're going to use today is we're going to use the basic Node.js web application.
Okay.
So this is just going to be bare bones Node.js.
Yeah.
We are going to actually add Express to it.
Okay.
We could have done the Node.js Express 4 application,
okay.
But then it stubs in a bunch of extra code.
That's
and
a problem, right?
I don't feel like deleting it all, and we don't need it. So let's just do it that way, right? So
I confuse people anyway. If we have to go
exactly.
And take it all out, right?
Right. There's extra steps we don't need to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new folder on my C drive just so I've got everything in one spot and it's not all out of the way. I'm going to call this Proof of Concept Live.
Woohoo, live, in color.
In color. All right, so we'll select that folder. And now you'll notice here I have the name, and it's saying cloud service, but now it'll say Node.js because I've actually clicked it. I'm going to call this my game server because this is actually going to be the server that we build. But in here for my solution name, I'm actually going to change this to POC live because my solution is going to host two projects. Yeah. It's going to host my server and my game logic.
Exactly, yeah.
So. All right, we got that. I'm just going to go ahead and click OK. And that's actually going to build our project. Just give it a quick second here. All right. So now we actually have a basic Node.js application all set up. You see here we have some very stub code. It's actually the Hello World project off of the Node.js site.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to do a little digging as to why that's in there, that's why.
That's why.
If you were to run this right now, it actually would fire up and say Hello World, right? So kind of cool. But the first thing that we want to do is we want to get our client code, our game code in here.
Yep.
And again, I've hosted it on an Azure website, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go into depth on exactly the little steps on doing that. There's so many tutorials on how to fire up an Azure website. I'm not going to waste cycles on that. But what I am going to show you is how to actually import it into my solution.
Project and a lot.
So,
solution.
Yeah. So I'm going to go to, I right clicked on my solution. I'm going to go to add, and I'm going to go to existing website.
Okay. Oh, that's
cool. Yeah, pretty cool, right?
I was there. Okay, cool.
And through the magic of television, my information's already in there. But this would be the FTP information that you get when you create a site.
Okay.
So down there on the right-hand side on the Azure dashboard, you'll see FTP
info,
and you just grab that, and that's what I'm doing. And again, I just got to punch in my username and password.
And is a lot of that, like, the setting up stuff on the Azure site? Just because I know with, like, mobile services.
Oh, I just fired up an Azure website.
Okay. Yeah.
And then what I did is I connected to it like this, but it was empty. So when I got it, all my what happened was all this was in here except for my www
root
was completely empty.
Okay.
And then I just wrote my code and stubbed it in there.
Oh, nice.
And then what's really cool is once it's in there, all I have to do when I want to push it up to the server
is
just right-click and go to publish. Right? Now, for the first time, it'll come up and it'll ask you for all your credentials and stuff, right?
After
and then and you can actually do like a preview to see what's changed and stuff.
Yeah.
Press publish. Within seconds, boom, up and running.
Sweet.
Right? Can't get any faster than that.
No. No, I mean, that's awesome.
So that's pretty impressive, and that's how I structured the game logic.
Okay.
Now, you could pull this down because it is HTML5 and JavaScript.
You could.
You could wrap this in anything. You could wrap it in PhoneGap and throw it out on devices, right? Whatever you want to do. But I thought for simplicity and ease of use, I just throw it up on an Azure website.
Yep, works.
So that's our client side of stuff. So let's go back to our game server. So I'm going to get my steps. I just want to make sure I don't miss a single thing because I don't want to. Why are you no cloud?
Yeah, because we've all had that one tutorial where they forgot something crucial.
And then messed you up completely.
Yeah. You go down to the bottom, comment, someone goes, oh, do this. Boom, it works.
Yeah. Okay, so far, good.
Okay, we're good.
Yeah, we've hit everything. No one's going to be, you know, flying in space without a tether. So we're all good.
That's still in there.
So now the next step we're going to do is we're going to actually import the packages, the Node.js packages we need to use. So like I said, we're using Node.js, but we're also using WebSockets. So that's how we're going to pass the data back and forth from our Node.js server running on Azure to our Azure website running the game. We're going to use WebSockets. Simple and pretty easy to use. Very versatile.
Yeah.
And in our case, works pretty well
for us.
Now, if you know, if you're doing like massive multiplayer games, WebSockets probably are not going to work well for you. So you might have to take a look. But at the end of the day, indie casual games, perfect solution.
Exactly.
So let's go ahead. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to right click on my NPM here. I'm going to say install new NPM packages.
Oh, sweet.
So NPM stands for Node Package Manager, in case you didn't know. Provided the interweb, someone fed the hamster.
Yep.
And it works well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it didn't take too bad.
Hey, look at that. It worked.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise.
Someone paid the bill.
Okay. So the first package we need to install is our socket package.
Okay.
Right? Yep. So the one we're going to use is socket.io. So we're going to go socket.io. And you'll notice it lists a few of them. The one that we're going to use is the top one here.
Okay.
So it's 1.2.0.
Woo-hoo.
So that's the one I'm going to select. I'm going to go install package. And down here at the bottom, you'll just kind of see that the output where it's executing the install. And now it's installed. Done. Okay.
That was easy.
Very simple, right? So that's socket. The next one we need is Express.
Okay.
Now, a lot of you out there are going, well, why do we need Express if this is going to be a basic server?
Yeah.
I found out something kind of interesting.
Okay.
I tried to run just a basic Node server without Express and tried to bind it to port 80.
Okay.
Won't happen.
Okay.
Can't do it. Can't, unless you have permissions, you can't bind to any port below.
Okay.
I don't quote me on this, but I believe it's 3000.
Oh.
You can't bind any port below that.
Oh, okay.
So what I'm doing is I'm using Express to allow me to put a layer on top of it so that I can listen on port 80.
Okay. That's cool.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's different.
Not an extra amount of overhead, but
hey, it
still
works.
Something you gotta have in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna go ahead and install Express. So Express. And the one I'm gonna choose here is the 4.10.2. I believe that's the latest version. And if you select here, you can actually select lower versions if there's a version that you're trying to target.
Yeah.
But if you just leave latest, it'll download obviously the latest.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and install that package. And there, we're done.
Woohoo.
Package is installed. Right?
Done. I know. Yeah.
All right.
Versus, hours of, learning how to do it and writing it yourself.
Importing a bunch of libraries.
And doing
all that heavy stuff. Why do it?
Why do it yourself? Yeah.
You know, how many times have I said it? Why reinvent the wheel?
Exactly.
All right.
It works.
Okay. So We've got everything, our framework's kind of in place. Yep. Now it's time to start getting our server together.
Yep.
Okay. So we're going to go into Server.js here. And I'm going to keep it called Server.js. You can change it to whatever you want, but basically you got to make sure that this is the one that Node runs.
Okay.
By default. But yes. So it, I'm just going to leave it as Server.js.
Yeah.
Just to make it easier on everybody and us as well.
Yep.
So the first thing we need to do in our server file is set up our requirements.
Okay.
Right, so we need to tell our server and our compiler what components it needs to go and find before it starts putting everything together.
Makes sense.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to code, and I'm going to kind of get you to explain what I'm typing if you can.
Awesome.
Okay.
Do what I can.
So we're going to create, the first thing we need to do is create our utility.
Yep.
So we're going to say require. And this is going to go out.
And the require command and all that, that's built in with Node.js, right?
Yes.
Okay. Just for anyone who's wondering and going, where'd that come from? Just, you know. Because I always do that sometimes. I'm like, wait.
And then we're going to need Express
obviously.
Because we're using that, right? And the order is actually important. You want to make sure that you're not telling something to call something that hasn't been initialized, So we're kind of... going in a certain order that's so we know which one will be available for the next.
Yeah. So the next thing is all happy and all that jazz.
So for instance, right, we'll get to it in a second. But so I'm going to do my player next because we're going to need a player.
Yep.
Right? And
it's not built yet, but it's going to
be built. I'm going to... I'm not actually going to build that one live, though. I'll just all import it.
Bring that
But we will have it shortly. Yeah. So what we're doing is we're saying you're going to require this certain file, this player, for our code. So make sure... Yeah, I just saw that. That's the problem. Like, I don't know why, but I can type so fast when someone's not watching. As soon as someone looks at my screen...
I'll stop watching then.
No, it's fine.
I'll talk to the folks at
home. Okay, just everybody stop looking.
But yeah, while he's doing that, he's going to just bring in everybody, jumping ahead. So after the player, he's going to bring in Express, he's going to set up the app, which needs Express because of the whole port issue we were talking about, right?
Yeah, so...
After that, going to set up the server.
So basically, like I said,
order thing, basically, right?
If the order was out, like you're saying, if I would have said, app... assign app Express, and I hadn't
you
told
hadn't required it, yeah.
Hadn't required Express, it would throw an error and nothing would work. Yeah. So, it, like I said, the order here
does
matter in some cases. Again, I'm coding this fast as I can, so best coding practices are being thrown out the window.
Remember, proof of concept, everyone.
Yeah, camel case, all that stuff, if you don't see it.
Yep, clean it up.
Don't complain too much.
Exactly. When you grab this, make it your own game. Grab it, clean it up, do whatever you need to do to it, but, don't hunt us down with pitchforks and, torches and all that. As much fun as that might be.
Chasing poor Will through the street with pitchforks.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be good.
We should make a game about that.
We could.
Okay, so, if you see there, the last line was requiring a server, but server needed app, so again, app has to be above server.
Yeah. Now we're bringing in the sock.
Yeah, now we're going to start
bringing
a socket.
You could just copy paste that over.
That would defeat the purpose.
Okay, I'm just saying.
And he's basically saying I have the code already made in another file, so if I wanted to, I could just literally copy and paste this. But again, it defeats the purpose.
I know. You're right.
We're trying to show that
you can do this, and
and kind of it'll kind of give them a chance to understand how long it takes to actually type this stuff out when you're being watched.
Exactly. Quit complaining. Yeah. So, lastly, he's setting up the port, which using the Express.
Yeah, so this line of code, basically what I'm doing is I'm saying assign the port to whatever the environment port default is.
Okay.
That's the first chunk. Yeah. And then the double pipes is my OR. And that's basically saying OR port 80 if it's available, basically. Yeah. And that, again, is because I want to be able to bind to port 80.
Bind to port 80 or...
To avoid that issue that I was saying I had before.
Yeah.
Okay, so that handles the requirements, right? Now, some of that you're looking at, you're like, well, that wasn't all requirements. Some of that was kind of variable setup. Yeah, I understand. I put it all into the chunk of requirements because it all kind of fits together nicely.
You'll
makes
need
sense,
it later,
right?
I mean,
you're going to need all this. So, but the next step, we are going to actually add variables or a variable. Because, like I said, this is a very, very simplistic example. At the end of the day, you should be able to build this out if you wanted to, though, make it a little bit more robust. So, it should be players. We're multiplayer, not player. Players.
That we're going to eventually build out. I was going to say, you can continue.
You want me to continue?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I can talk. So, the players, later on, what it's going to do is it's going to be an array that just holds all the people playing the game currently. We'll mess with that a little bit later. Right now, he's just making, stubbing in effectively our initialize function, drop down to init.
Yes, our great init.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's just going to basically instantiate that as an array.
Well, yeah, because, I've set it up, but I haven't told it what it is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I could have inlined all that.
You could have.
But.
For this, why?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. At the end of the day, more legible.
Exactly. More legible. Better for someone who may not know what an inline is if you're new.
So now, walk through what we have.
Yep.
Requirements, variable for players.
Yep.
We got our init.
Yep.
Sets up our player variable.
Yep.
Or player array, rather.
Yep. Yeah.
Now we need to call init.
Yep. So just throw that on the bottom and. Save as houses. No, never mind. It's gone. Thought's gone.
Release the hounds. That's what I always say. So that's going to be our fire of the game.
Should lowercase that I.
Oh. Wow. Good eyes, buddy.
See, this is why I'm here.
This is why we do extreme programming live.
Exactly.
So that the other coder can catch your mistakes on the fly.
Yep.
Okay. So one last thing that I want to do is I'm going to stick a little debug code here. Because eventually we're going to be spitting out to the console.
Yeah.
And I want to know, because I've had this problem before about the ports, I kind of want to know what port
is
I'm actually on. So I'm going to throw in a little debug code. Actually, I'll comment it so we remember. So you could remove this once you're going to push live. So all this does is just print out to the console. I'm sorry, did I miss something?
No, I was going to say, didn't you put that into a function or whatnot? Yeah. Looking at his notes over his shoulder, going, wait, that's not what you wrote?
Yeah, no.
However you want to do it.
Yeah, no, I'll write it out, and then I'll wrap it in a function that we can actually call. Okay?
Awesome.
Sound good?
Whatever.
I love this.
It's your show.
Yeah. Okay.
And that awkward silence.
Yeah, the awkward silence
comes across the studio as we all watch.
Should get some
background
music.
I know, right? Aloe vera music or something. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you're right. We should wrap this so that we can fire it off whenever something happens. So okay, so let's wrap it in the listen function. Yeah. So what'll happen is when the server when the server starts to listen, the port will fire.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Event handling. Basically.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, we saved the port out, so that's all good. Yep.
Yeah, and then we can just do this, and I just do this. So basically, I'm just wrapping it all nicely in a little function, and then because of the awesomeness of Visual Studio, everything gets moved over for me.
Yep.
It's like, there you go. Don't worry about it. I got your back.
Yep. Good guy, Visual Studios. Yep. We should have made that one.
Yep, we're good. Good guy, Visual Studio.
Next time,
he's making
folks.
A comment about the meme-heavy presentation today. So you've already seen the "Why No Cloud" meme. We have another meme coming up, but we were trying to search for memes last night.
Yeah, it was great.
It was kind of fun, actually. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie.
What, 2 a.m, we're trying to think of funny things to do that aren't really ham-fisted. Pretty much was the problem.
Okay, so if we were to fire this up, all that would happen right now is Node.js would fire up onto an Azure website, right?
You get a white screen.
We get a white screen, but in the console, it would actually tell us what port we were binded to. Exactly. So this would actually do something. So if you were to say, at this step, I want to see if anything's working, it actually would.
Yeah.
So you can go ahead and test if you want.
Unless you're me, in which case it'll break.
But, yeah, so because of time, we're just going to continue.
Because of time, we're just going to...
Okay.
Carry on.
So everything's ready to go. So the next thing we want to do is we want to initialize our sockets. We want to get our sockets set up so that we can actually accepting connections.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to, we're going to need to set up event handlers, like you said. So I think the best bet would be to set up an RNet to call a function that will
set everything up.
Right. So we're going to call. We'll call it set event handlers.
Yep. And while you type that, I guess I'll jump ahead and explain what kind of event handlers we're going to
do. Well, explain what an event handler is.
What one is? Okay.
Yeah.
So an event handler is something that handles events. No, that's too simple. Now, basically what you do is you set it up to, let's say you're listening for a mouse click. You would say, you know, depending on the language, you know, add event listener, whatnot. You'd pass in what type of event, in this case, you know, mouse click. Then you pass in what function to call when that event is fired. That's basically what it does. And then, so when you click on the mouse, sometimes you can, that's in the next thing. So you set the, you click the mouse, calls that function. Normally you pass in kind of some kind of argument. Normally it, in this case, it would be like what button was pressed. You know, did they press the left mouse button, the right mouse button? Was it the scroll wheel button? Because, you know, someone actually uses that. but no, anyway, basically you take in whatever data you get sent. And you just you parse it out, you put it in a switch case, you do whatever you need to do with it, and yeah, you make it happen. All depends on what language you use. You can do different things, like C#, you can do different things with
delegates. It depends on the language and like the context. The syntax is going to be different depending on exactly what language you're using. But the gist of it, you got the gist of it.
Yeah.
And the gist is basically,
it listens.
It sets up a function that basically listens.
Yeah.
Something happens that triggers the listener to pick up, right? So let's take it back to like a high level thing. So the event is a phone rings, right? The event handler would be you going to pick up the phone, right? Yeah. So that's basically what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Mouse click, I do something because that mouse clicked.
Exactly.
Right? Very, very simplistic.
See, look at that.
Yeah. I was trying to think of an easy metaphor.
I know.
To wrap it all.
I know. I'm like, oh, man, I can think of one, and I'm like, screw it. I'll just be like, this is what it does.
I don't know if that was the best metaphor, hopefully it came across.
It works. It's an event. You listen. I mean, it works, right?
Yeah. Okay. So what I did there, again, like I said, we stubbed in our event, so our set event handlers. And then what we're doing is we're saying in our event handler function to set up our sockets. So we're going to say when the socket connects, mm-hmm. so the first time we get a connection, we're going to fire off on socket connection.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
So that's our event handler.
Yep.
The event is the connection.
Yep.
The event that we're going to fire off is the onset socket connection.
Yep.
Right? That's so just to take you through the code nicely, init fires off, tells set event handlers to fire, it goes into set event handlers, and it basically sets up this listener.
Yeah.
So now that we have the listener, we need to create the actual function that gets called when the listener gets fired, right? So in this case, we have our on-socket connection.
Yep.
So we should create that function. So I'm going to go ahead and create that function right now.
And this, basically when this gets called, I'm just going to skip.
Yeah, go ahead.
While he types.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Just because otherwise it will take a while. what it's going to do is it's going to initialize the client side. So that's you sitting at home loading up the game. It's going to, you know, take your data in this case, very simple. It's just going to make you a character. It's going to push that into the, it's going to call something that will do that. So it's going to be, So it's going to set up more event handlers, basically, for when you connect and when you disconnect and when you move, to be specific. But like I said, it's all the client side, so it's you doing things versus the server running. You know what I mean? It's a fun little disconnect.
I like how you asked them a question.
I know.
Do we have anything in chat?
I should actually open that back up.
Yeah, so we're broadcasting this behind the scenes on Twitch, and hopefully we'll do this again in the future. So if you want to jump on Twitch TV in the future, and we'll make sure I push this out on my Twitter and all the rest of the socials. Right? But yeah, so you can actually see behind the scenes and all the mistakes we make. So
it's
the non-polished version that you get to see at the end.
Very, very raw.
Yes, our producer told us quite clearly to stress
that it was
that the
raw.
Switch stream is completely raw.
Yeah, yeah. I think it might have hurt him a little bit just to watch it, and it's beautiful, you know. rawness. Yeah, so how far are you along with typing? Okay.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
I'm getting there.
So he's down to the disconnect part, at least.
Yep, now I'm going on to the new player.
Awesome. So yeah, again, vent handlers, you know, all that jazz. The disconnect is the vent type. We're going to make a function that's called onClientDisconnect that's going to handle it. It's going to...
Well, we need event handlers for every event that we're expecting, right? So the ones that we're expecting right out of the box are client disconnect. So if a client can connect, they're obviously going to disconnect.
They're going to leave.
And then obviously we're going to have new players, because every time a new client joins us, we're going to have a new player.
Yep.
And then
movement.
The all-important one that we're going to need is a move player, right? So we're going to have to listen and do something when the player actually moves.
Yeah.
Right, which is like kind of the core of everything that we're doing here.
And of course, you can add your own.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you would add
on.
More, right? So if it wasn't just movement, if you wanted to add maybe spellcasting for an RPG, you know,
or
something like that, you would have to have an
combat
event.
Or whatever. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, whatever input you want.
So so basically, that's all I've done here is the util.log is basically just making it so they can print out, so I know if a new player is connected, and I'm passing them the client ID.
Yeah.
And this client ID, if you dig into the player code, is we're basically storing a unique ID for each player, so that way we can find them and remove the right player depending on the situation, right?
Or if you build this out further, you can use it just to do something to them, like give them a buff or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or kick them. You know, you can always do that.
Yeah, and again,
force
like,
kick them.
Yeah, like you said, just to reiterate on that, is the fact that we have the disconnect. So player disconnects, we're going to fire off our on client disconnect.
Yep.
New player joins, fire off on new player.
Yep.
Player moves, fire off player move.
Yep.
Now, that's all fine and dandy, but those don't exist.
No.
Right? Yeah. We don't have those functions.
Yeah,
so let's go ahead and stub those in to get started. So again, going to create some functions here. So function, the first one we'll start off with is, we'll go with the onClientDisconnect. So
that's the simplest one, you know, most straightforward. You remove them from,
well it's the first one in my list.
No. I was going to say, I shouldn't mention that because we haven't done that yet.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
You're just excited.
I know.
Okay, so onClientDisconnect, and we're not going to pass anything into them.
Nope, not in this case.
Not in this case.
Later on, maybe you might have a reason to.
I'm already breaking my non-existent programming practices here. And then
proof of concept.
Yes, definitely proof of concept. I'm just going to throw in another little log here because it's always nice to know when functions have fired.
Yep.
Just in case, debugging purposes, proof of concept, all that jazz.
Exactly.
Okay, player's disconnected. And then kind of nice to know which player it was that disconnected. So we'll also display its ID. Well, in this case, the current ID we're looking at. So yeah, there we go. So I'll just do that. And then for now, let's just stub in the other one. So we'll do our function on new player. And we'll have data because in our player, and I'm going to walk you guys kind of through the other code a little really fast. But in our other one, when we create a new player, we pass in position.
Yeah.
So we're going to have data that we pass in. Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have
put that semicolon. Why'd you put that semicolon though?
Exactly. Talking and not thinking.
I know.
This is the thing. I love JavaScript for its forgivability.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh, it's okay. Did you forget a semicolon? Not a problem. I'll try and run it anyway.
Yeah.
But then comes the problem of people like me that have a tendency to have a little bit of OCD, and it drives me nuts when I'm missing semicolons.
Yep. And that, honestly, that's actually
well,
why
and it can actually
I
mess up your code pretty bad, right? Because if you don't have a semicolon and you needed a semicolon there in order it for the function to make sense.
Yeah.
You can run into a lot of headache.
Yep. And that's why sometimes I just avoid JavaScript.
But this isn't a rant about JavaScript,
so don't take it as a rant.
I won't go too deep on it, because honestly, I could have an entire rant on JavaScript. Okay, so stubbed in classes.
Yep.
Connections are good. Listening for things. Yep. We're listening for our player. We're listening for disconnect, player moves, all that stuff.
Yep.
Okay, so the next thing we need to do is get the player class in here.
Yep.
Right, so again, get some fun stuff going on. So again, if you were to do this at home, it's right-click on game server, and you're going to want to add new.
Yeah.
But in my case, I already have it, so I'm going to add existing.
Yep. Because we've already made it.
I already made this. I didn't want to...
Through the magic of television, I'm just going to pull out this turkey.
Did I actually save it, though?
I don't know. That's a million-dollar question.
That is a really good question. Oh, it's okay. Why don't you chat a little bit while I try to find out where I stuck that
Sweet chatelet, oh boy. What do I want to talk about? Well, while he does that.
Just like, yeah.
Well, I'm just like,
while they're watching me surf my
yeah, I know, right?
My
yeah,
hard drive. I found it.
I think it is actually on there. Yeah.
I found it. Yeah. This is the problem when
did
you do
see
like
Waldo while you're looking.
No, I hit him really good.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome. So it's up.
It's up. Yeah. So this is our player function. I'm gonna walk you through it really, really quick.
Yep.
I'm not gonna code it because it would take a little while. And all this stuff is pretty basic. Like, looking at it, it kind of tells you what it does. So player function creates a new player. We're taking in a starting coordinate, so starting Y and starting X. Mm-hmm. Again, Cartesian coordinates. Yep. I'm assuming you know that if you're here already.
Yep.
We're also going to store an ID. Okay. Like I said, we need that unique client ID. Then we're going to do our getters and setters. So we need a get X and a get Y, and we also need a set X and a set Y. So this is going to get our position and set our positions.
Yep.
Very simple, right? And then down at the very, very bottom, we expose all that via a return function that allows us to do things like player.getX, right?
Exactly.
And player.id.
Yep.
Right. So there you go.
So then we can grab it from the server side. Yay.
Yeah. Very, very simple. And if you look at the client version, actually,
isn't
you know what? Let me do.
Version?
No, this is the server
is
version.
The server version?
So let me show you the client version, which is in here as well.
Shouldn't it be in JS?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I don't know why it's not in sight. Yeah. Love how he knows. He's like, your code's clean. You know where it is.
Oh, yeah. Also, I've seen it before. I mean, I was looking at this the other day, playing around with it.
Yeah. So there we go. I just had to pull it down.
Yeah,
okay. So if you see it, it looks pretty similar,
it's
right?
It's similar.
The two major differences here is I have a color and a move amount.
Yeah.
My color is basically, I did this fancy little thing you can read in there. I did like a random piece of the rainbow so that there are different colors, so they're not always a black dot. The server went down last night. I had something to do.
Things you do when you're bored.
Yeah, and then the other one is like you've got your getters and setters. Then you have an update function because it has to handle the input and stuff.
Yep.
So that's why that's a little different there.
Yep.
Then my random piece of rainbow, and then just the draw function. So the line here is basically saying you know random piece of the rainbow, which gives us a color, and then we just say draw, and it just fills in a rectangle.
Yeah.
Right. And again, then we have a returns that expose those functions.
Yep.
Nothing too crazy, right? Okay, player function on the server, player function on our client.
Yep.
Everything's good. Now it's time to go back to our server and start working on this new player, right? So we have the player, so let's get him into our game.
Awesome.
So we're going to go into our new player function, rather.
Do you want to type and I talk?
Yeah, let's do that again.
So first thing he's going to do is he's going to make basically a temporary variable for the new player. He's going to instantiate the... He's taking in the data for the X and the Y. My bad.
So that gets...
I'm looking over. I'm like, oh, wait, I missed that. Anyway, so he's going to make the new player. The data that's passed in, we're grabbing the X and the Y from that and putting it into the new player that we're making. Then he's going to take that player and...
Going to give it an ID.
Lost my spot. Give it an ID. There we go. Lost my spot. And, yeah, so that gives him... It's unique ID for layer. I mean, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
So create a new player. So I fire it off. It goes into my player class, creates the player, and I'm passing in the X and Y of the starting point, which is actually being randomized by the game.
Yeah.
I'll show you that in a little bit too if we have time. But basically, just simple.
Simple
stuff. So we have our new player, right? We know where he is in the world. He has an ID and everything. So the next thing we should do is probably tell
the other players
that this new player exists, right? So I guess the next thing to do is we're going to do a broadcast emit. So say this dot broadcast.
There we go. Decided to pull up the list on my computer.
Emit. And then, so now I'm going to say new player. So we're going to tell them about the new player. And then we're going to pass them all this data. So we're going to say, we're going to pass them the ID, right? So new player.
So the broadcast and the emit is built into Node.js, I believe.
Socket. WebSocket.
Sorry, the WebSocket. And it does exactly what it says. It broadcasts like a PA system. It just sends it out everywhere. Well, broadcasts it. But the emit is what makes it go everywhere more so.
And yeah, it's
if you want to think of it that way.
So the way to put it is the broadcast.emit sends messages to all the clients.
Yeah.
Whereas if I said something like this.emit, so if I didn't say broadcast emit, if I said just this emit, I'm only going to broadcast to a specific
This is what happens when you don't look at the source code. You say something, then you're corrected.
No, you were right. I was just fleshing out what you were saying.
It's so all good. I know.
Rounding it out, if you will. Yeah. Just giving you the polish, my friend.
Exactly.
Okay. So passing in its Y and its X. So create the new player, telling everybody about it. I got to make sure I've got enough brackets. Yep, looks like I do. Semicolon. All right.
Should be happy.
I'm gonna make this a little. I know I've got like my code a little bit maxed out, so you can read it better. But okay, so this.broadcast emit, passing the new player and all of its info, and we're getting its positions via our getters and setters.
With our getters and setters, yeah, exactly.
Very simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now they all know about me.
Yeah.
But I don't know about them.
Yeah.
So I should probably find out where everybody is in the world and who's there, right?
Yeah.
So our next part is to actually find out who's out there in the world. So first thing I need to do is create a holder for the existing players. Or existing player, sorry.
All right, I'll let him type and I'll talk
again. Yeah, I'm trying to type and not misspell and think about what the next...
No, it's all good.
The next word is that I need existing... Thank you, existing player...
Okay, now I'm just looking at it just so I can actually explain it correctly.
I'll be done.
You also have to declare the I for your
I'm going to inline that. I'm not one of those people that declares my variables outside of my for loop.
Yep.
Dear God, sir.
But yeah, so basically he just goes through the loop. He grabs whatever players at that spot in the players array. Remember that
Why don't you explain for loops?
You want me to explain a for loop?
Why not? Give them the gist of a for loop.
For loop. All right, a for loop is a type of loop. It basically goes from whatever your counter. So in this case, we set 0. So it starts at 0. The next bit, so that part's our counter. The next part is our conditional statement. I believe the technical term. Basically, in our case, it's I. So while I is less than the player's length, so let's say there's 5 guys in that array, you will go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you'll stop because you can't be 5. Basically, you want to be a kid forever. The next part is the iterator. It just increases your counter. So in this case, I, after it's done its loop. And yeah, so that's pretty much it. And so in this case, what it will do is existing player the first time will equal to whatever is in.
Copy and pasting this. I'm getting so tired of typing existing player.
So basically, it will just grab whatever's in the first slot of the player array. Then the next time, I will be 1. So we'll grab the next 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. And the this should be.
We need to just get. Or I'll do get X first. Sorry, I'm just mumbling to myself as I code here.
Okay.
I'm trying to make
worries. And then it does the emit, which, like Mickey was saying, and I didn't realize, it sends it to just that specific player. The new player.
Our player.
Our player, the new one.
Let's consider us the new person coming in.
We're new.
So we're the new person coming in, right? So when we enter, we tell the server, hi, we're new. So the server goes, hey, everybody that's here, there's a new person in the room.
Yeah.
And then the server goes, hey, I'd like to introduce you to everybody else that's out there.
That's not good.
Yes, I just noticed that my PC is running out of power here. Am I plugged in? I should be plugged in. Did I lose power somewhere along the lines? Technical difficulties.
Where's our little splash screen?
Okay, so I'm going to continue on. Hopefully I don't lose power in the next 5 seconds. This thing is a very powerful machine, but it's also very hungry.
Yes. Power. Yeah. Anyone who's looking to get an Alienware, they love
perfect.
Battery. How's mine doing, actually?
Still good so far? I'll give you my battery.
Oh, I got 22 minutes. We're good.
Plenty of time. We can build a whole nother game.
Woo-hoo!
Okay. Right. So, where were we? So basically, yeah, that's what's happening. We go out, the server tells, it introduces us to everybody, yep, right? And that's basically our whole new player function in a nutshell.
Yep.
Right? Saying hello, meeting everybody.
Yep.
Very cool. Okay. So, I guess the next thing I should do is kind of show how this is set up in the client. I'm going to just...
I was going to say before that.
What? What am I missing?
We have to add the new player to the players array.
Yes.
This is why we have two people, everyone.
Okay, yeah, see.
I was looking at the notes.
I would have walked right over that, and that would have been a nasty little mistake.
So, yeah, just right after that.
Yeah, just wondering why I moved my semicolon.
So, yeah, so this is where we actually use the player's array, which we've been talking about the whole time and never using.
Yeah, okay, so.
So we'll just push it in there, and then bam. So, obviously, the first player, when it gets added, the array will be 0, or we'll have a length of 0, so that little for loop we did will just not do anything.
And the push command, the one thing to note about it is it pushes to the top of the stack.
Oh, it's the top? Okay.
Sweet. Yeah, so when you push on it, it's like you can think of it as plates.
Yeah.
Right? So the first, the plates here, this is the plate that's already on the stack, I put one on and I push it on, it's going on to the top of that plate. And every time I push a new one on, it pushes it off.
Yeah.
The reverse is pop.
Yeah.
When you pop something off, you take it off the top of the stack. Right? Yeah.
You can...
You can yank things out of the stack wherever you want, but you need to know where they are and their IDs and stuff like that. But in this case, because we just want to push new users in, there's no funkiness there.
Exactly.
We just push it to the latest one. All right, thanks for catching that, by the way.
Oh, hey, no worries.
Awesome.
That's why I'm here.
Okay, so now are we ready? Can I move on to the player?
Yeah, as far as I know, you can,
Okay.
Yeah, until we run this and find out what
doesn't find
work.
Out, no, not so much. Okay, so I'm going to go over to my game, and this is my client side. I know the naming conventions can get a little wonky, but because we have two players.
Yeah, it's.
I usually wouldn't name them this way, but again, programming cons or best programming out the window.
Proof of concept.
Proof of concept. Okay, so the first thing that I'm going to show here, and you can go through this code at your leisure, but the first thing is the local players. So local player is us.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously, remote players is the array of existing players. That we're getting, when we get that emit, this is where we're going to take it all in and push it in, right? Into our own personal array to keep track. And then we have our socket, and that's actually our web socket itself.
Yeah. That connects us to the server.
Exactly.
That's the connect.
And I'm just going to skip through some of this stuff here. You can kind of go through this, just random placement, right? Making sure he gets put wherever he wants. You got your input, you're initializing your input. Then we go into the... we create our local player. So again, passing in the starting X and Y, which is what we did above it. Then we initialize our array of remote players. And then finally, we init our socket.
Yeah.
So this is the important part. So this is where you're going to point to your Azure server. Right? So in my case, I've named my website AMP, Azure Multiplayer. Right? So it's amp.azurewebsites.net, and I'm using port 80. So that's where
we'll
saying...
throw that down somewhere.
Yeah. Well, they'll have the code.
Yeah,
so we'll see
code,
this.
But
basically, that's what I'm connecting to. So you would want to change this to match your website.
Yeah.
So maybe you had, you know, Will's Epic Game
at
AzureWebsites.net. That's where you'd want to point.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's one thing that I definitely wanted to point out. So that's how to set up that. I'm not going to go too much. I could go into the event handlers and all that stuff, but I don't want to waste time on that. You guys are smart enough to figure it out. It's really commented, so I don't think you'll have too many difficulties there. If you do, bug Will on Twitter. He'll answer anything.
Yep, I'll do my best.
And it doesn't even have to be about gaming. Just bug him on Twitter.
Woohoo!
So the next thing I want to show you guys is the index. So our index file, this is another spot where we have to make sure we're calling to the right website. So in here, I've got in my body, I'm saying, I want you to go out and pull out a script from the website. And the reason I'm doing this is so that we're always at the same version of socket.io.
Yeah.
Because if we let the client do it and the client updated its socket.io, we could end up with a mismatch. Not saying that in this very minute and very simplistic example that would ever happen, but what I'm saying is down the road, a larger game, you might run into that. So if there's things that are dependent and the server is dependent on them, pull them out of the server. It's already a multiplayer game anyway. Files aren't that big, right? So that's what I'm doing here. So I'm saying, look at my Azure website, go into the socket.io folder and pull down the socket library.
Yep.
Very simple.
I mean, it makes sense.
Okay. So that's basically just the major things that I wanted to show you in the game class on the player side of things.
Yeah. 6%.
Okay, so yeah. I guess we'll go back to our game server side. That'll be our next step. Yeah, I'm sorry I'm jumping around on you.
I was
nice enough to give him a little like heads up as to what I'd be talking about, but I've kind of decided on the fly that I'm moving to something else.
No, I was just like, oh, hey, my laptop's going to die. I'm going to let you go to sleep.
Okay, so the last thing that I want to show them in just this really quick proof of concept, because of the time, we're starting to run down on time here. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to show you guys how to do the player movement.
Okay.
And in the finalized version, I'll have the on disconnect and all that code in there for you as well. Yeah. But I'm going to leave that out for now. It's very similar to the on connect stuff. Not hard to figure out. Yeah. I just want to get you guys so you can actually see
basically
something moving.
Do it in the opposite.
Yeah. So let me fire this up real quick. So I'm going to go to my server. And I'm going to do my on player move. Dat data. Passing in that dat. Okay. So, I'll let you kind of talk it through,
All right.
We need to have a placeholder for our player.
Yes. All right. Now that my laptop's dead, I have to look at his notes. Cool. Just because I don't remember everything. All right. So, basically, we will grab the move player. Well, sorry, the move player will...
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Placeholder, I know.
Placeholder, I know.
He's a little frazzled because he's got to read across my notes. But basically what's happening is...
Oh, we never showed that helper.
That's client stuff.
Okay.
So the move player is basically a holding spot for the player that we want to move.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go and say player by ID, which is our helper that he mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm not going to show you the function. It's very simplistic. It pulls an ID out of an array.
Yeah.
Not very complicated. But what we're going to do is we're going to... ask for a certain player by its ID.
Yeah.
Why we saved IDs is very important, and that this is the player we're going to move.
Yeah.
Right.
Awesome. Anyway, so after he gets that, he's going to check to see if it's basically if it's null or not. Because if it's null, we don't want to do anything with it. If it is, and we'll print out a little debug thing with that as well. I think that's what he's typing right now.
Yeah. I always like to stick. If I'm not sure something's going to fire off.
It's a good idea
to stick in there. And then what I can do like later on is just go remove all these or just comment them out or if-def them.
If-def it is also
right,
a good
is a great way. I tend to do that more in production code. I'll throw in a lot of if-defs because...
Yeah. You just need it to work.
So if you build it and debug it, throws out the debug. If you don't, then it doesn't, right? Exactly. So no big deal there.
So after that, what he does is he uses our little handy-dandy getters setters that we set up earlier, and he sets the player's X and Y to wherever the data was passed in, basically. Then after that, we broadcast it to everyone. So while you're sitting at home, and I'm playing the game, you're playing the game, I move my guy, your client, you know that I move, and I move on your screen. That's pretty much what that does.
That's a pretty good example or explanation of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's as simple as that.
Yeah. This little chunk there that says the if not move player, all I'm doing is to make sure that if the player is not moved, it's going to fire back.
Oh, okay.
And this is more of a debug thing so that I can find out if I've got a bug in here later on. If I'm man, I'm moving him, but he's not moving, I can actually see that way if this function is having an issue. Let's put it this way. It's a very simplistic version of unit testing.
Pretty much.
Right? I want to be able to track down bugs quicker. That's why I do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So and then, like you said, the last thing I got to do is just broadcast all this new information to everyone in the world. Broadcast.
I'll fire up my computer. So that way when...
Yeah, I'm hoping that you can jump in and if you've got enough juice...
Should.
And then...
As long as my computer didn't break on me.
Hopefully our awesome producer, JR, over there will yank the cable out of mine and plug it into yours.
I suppose I could. No. He will kill me if I reach across and pull it out.
He might.
Oh, don't be like that, laptop. Be nice. Oh, there we go. Cool. Anyway...
Yep, so just finishing up here, just doing my setters.
He's coding, I'm playing with my laptop.
Yeah. And so give me feedback about how you, if you like it, whether or not You like the idea of us coding live like this. I know it, like, it's kind of got its slow parts because we're talking and I'm typing and stuff like that. But hopefully what will happen is we get better at this, the video will get better and it'll seem a little bit more natural and fluid. So, okay, I'm going to leave it there because I don't want to, if I go any more deep, I'm going to have to like explain a lot more stuff and it's just too much. So, what I want to do now is I'm going to show you how to upload it to the Azure website itself. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to right click on my game server.
Yeah.
I'm going to scroll to publish. And you'll notice right here, it's got a select my targets, right? So I could do import or custom or more options. Like there's lots of different stuff. I could even push to a virtual machine if I wanted to spin up a complete instance.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm trying to do this with little overhead.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't want servers and all that headache. I just want to have a website that I can point to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do Windows Azure Websites.
Yep.
And now it's going to ask me to sign in. And through the magic of television, I should be. I thought I would have already had me signed in.
Sadly, no.
But then you'll see the little bar. And what this is doing is it's looking at my websites. And there you go. I have two websites. AMP is the server site. And AMP Game is the site that's hosting all of my game logic.
Okay.
So this is the server. So I want to push it to my server. So I select AMP. And then I click OK. I'm not actually going to do that because I don't want to take the time and the bandwidth to do it.
Yeah.
But that's the gist. Then that's it. You push it up and you're ready to go. So like I said, I've already published my client to the website.
Mm-hmm.
So the next step for me to do is to actually go to the website. And are we okay? Can we see that little dot? Is that, I know it's like a little white dot on a black screen or white screen, but there you go. So there's my little white dot. I'm able, or white dot, little green dot. I'm able to move them around.
It's colorblind.
And that's me in the world.
Awesome.
So,
I would, but my laptop.
Okay, no, I'll tell you what. I'm going to do this. Sorry, JR, if I'm messing up your shot here.
Hang on. Maybe it didn't survive.
It's okay. I'll tell you what.
That's weird.
You're going to get my power cable.
All right.
Thank you, JR. Not only does he make us pretty but on camera, but he also
helps
us out and makes sure that all the stuff in the background is working and we don't have to worry about all those little headaches. So, yeah.
We'll give this
while he's booting up. I'm going to jump back to my presentation here. Oh, I love how it always
does
that to me.
And I'm up. I'm running around.
Okay, so he's up in that, but basically the one point I want to point out before we get into there is that was pretty easy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, to build a multiplayer server in, what did we do that in?
I don't know. Half.
56 minutes.
56 minutes,
56
apparently.
Minutes to build a Node.js-powered multiplayer server running in Azure. And now he's on, so I'm going to jump back in and show you. So there he is moving around on my screen. Here are my hands, if you can see them.
Yep.
I'm not touching anything.
I was gonna say, let me just refresh my page.
Are you going to refresh? No, you made me change color.
Yay. Yep. There I am. I'm running around doing circles.
Yeah, so he's running around, and then I can move around, and we can see each other. And there you go. Very simplistic, very, very basic idea of how to like set up Azure multiplayer server.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got to build this out and make it more of a game. But with that being said, keep tuned in because I will in the future be branching this out, making it more robust and showing you new and fun ways to use Azure. But I kind of wanted, like I said, I wanted to get everybody used to dipping their toe in the water, kind of testing it out and seeing how they felt about it. And hopefully this wasn't scary or anything like that. Again, we'll get the code up. Feel free to reach out to me on Twitter or any social media that you can find me on and ask any questions. I'm more than willing to help out and answer. And we'll do this up. We'll get this up on Git too. So on GitHub, so you guys can, if there's anything that you see that you want to change or add to, I'm always looking for
expand. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm always looking for new contributors. So
by
all means, awesome. So that concludes my little section
thing.
And because like I always like to rant about something, but at the end of it, I like to give them a solution to stop me
exactly.
ranting.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So in the time that we have left, I know I've kind of chewed up most of our time.
Oh, hey, this will only take like 2 seconds.
Yeah, I want you to at least show off what you're working on.
Yeah.
So while you're booting that up, though, and getting everything ready, let's talk about how you used Azure in
our games?
In Unity, specifically.
Because
what I've done is I've shown him here an example of how to do it with HTML5 and JavaScript.
Mm.
But I know you've had a lot of experience building it in Unity. So, if you wouldn't mind just giving him a quick overview, maybe, talking about some of the plugins that you've looked at?
Pretty much. Okay, cool. Well, what we did, like I was saying earlier, we used it for high score tables. Yeah, it was just only high score tables. We used a plugin called Bitrave. It's actually a pretty solid plugin. They have one that's specifically for Windows Phone, and then they have a universal one. It's on GitHub. You can hunt them down and get that. Now, before I did that, I didn't even know what Azure was. Then he went, oh, hey, try Azure. I'm like, okay. And then I did a bunch of their tutorials, like the Azure ones. Then I found Bitrave, and it was actually pretty easy to hook up once I got a hang of it. They have an example project in their little GitHub repository. A lot of the code is commented out because it was kind of a work in progress at the time. But I mean, they have examples of what all the code does, and then you just,
I haven't personally used the Bitrave one, but I've heard that, you know, like I know from you said that you've had a good success with it, and I've heard other people as well. Prime31, I believe, also has an Azure plugin as well. Have you tested that one out?
No.
I played around with it a little bit. There was a little bit of quirks in there, but I know they're ironing some stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, with the transition from the 4 series to the 5 series of Unity, there's a little bit of stuff going on the plugins, as well as, you know, our switch from having standalone like Windows and phone to the new universal project, you know, it's added a little turmoil as well. So, you know, at the end of it, a lot of this stuff has to smooth itself out.
Exactly.
But like you said, the APIs are so easy to use with Azure. There's no reason why you couldn't roll your own plugin.
No, exactly. And there's a bunch of tutorials and all that for that. Back to Bitrave, I'm not sure if it works. Unity 4.5, like post that whole thing, just because I know it changed how like the DLLs are handled and all that. So I'm not sure. Give it a shot. Yeah. Try it.
I can't comment on that either. I haven't tried it. So
I know the universal one should work because they just basically rewrote like net. Basically.
Well, if they made a universal one, they're targeting the universal build. So that generally makes sense. Yeah. But there you go. So yeah. I wanted basically to just kind of let people know that there is an option to do similar things like this on Azure for Unity.
Yeah.
And maybe later on we'll get you back and get you actually demoing some of that and showing it off.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Okay, so you got your game up here and running. Let's go ahead and take a look and see what you've been working on.
Awesome. This is a little pet project we've been working on for a while. It's basically just a shooter, physics-based game kind of mashup where, well, you're a farmer, your chickens have risen up against you, you grab your good old trusty shotgun, jump in the back of your pickup truck, head for your barn because, you know, it's the safest place, and the chickens are you're trying to stay on your truck. The chickens are trying to knock you off the truck so they can gang up on you. Kind of like that one Nintendo game that we all loved playing when we were a kid, and, you know, you attack the chickens. I don't want to be hunted down by saying the name of it. We all know what game, though. So here it is. So there's your truck. You know, give it gas, give it brake. You rotate the truck, try to keep in balance. I'm being all horrible and, you know, trying to flip them.
Oh,
whee, boom.
You got ejected.
Hit the ground, you die. All right, let's see if I can actually do this. And then
so it's a one life, you're dead type situation, right? Challenging, like the old school games.
Pretty much.
And this is still just a really early prototype.
And
you can see you got some.
If anyone who, you know, has used Unity, not knocking Unity, sometimes the physics can be a little funny.
Well, we were actually chatting about this offline a little bit about how you you started building this game before Unity created the 2D.
Yeah.
Tool set that they put in there. So you've kind of
had to hack it in.
Yeah, sort of had to hack some of the physics and stuff, so that did cause a little bit of an issue.
Yeah.
Are you excited for the new release of Unity 5?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Should be awesome.
Very cool. That's an awesome game. I'm really looking forward to it.
I love how I'm just starting to just be like crazy physics thing. And that's actually half the fun.
Half the fun is just trying to get through it.
Half the fun is honestly just like seeing your guy just go like haywire. Just like watch the truck go flipping end over end and stuff because you got hit by a chicken.
I found when I tried it, the one of the tactics I used was just the run and gun, where I just keep going and just shoot as I was driving to.
Yeah. I always find that's.
I find as soon as I slow down that the chickens start to like, they get a beat on me.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, you're done.
Oh, done. Done.
But no, it's awesome. What's the timeline on this?
Timeline, we're thinking release, we're kind of thinking spring, we're thinking something spring? Like that.
Okay,
yeah.
That's not too far off then.
Spring, summer, we're aiming for, depends on, you know, if we add any extra features.
Got to stop that feature creep.
I know, that's the problem, right?
Well, that was that's a really cool game, though. I look forward to seeing it on the store and getting a chance to play with it.
Yeah.
So, again, thank you very much for coming in and chatting with us today.
It was really fun.
I'm sure the audience enjoyed hearing your insights and keeping me on track while we coded there.
Yeah,
it was really good. Yeah, so, if you do anything more with it and feel free to come back and show us.
Oh, I will.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. I definitely had a blast coding on the fly with you. Hopefully, we'll get to do that again in the next show. And, make sure you tune in. Thanks, everyone.
Take care.